Soni is a senior consultant and chairman of Department of Cardiology at Sir Gangaram Hospital, New Delhi. He has about 39 years of rich experience in the field of cardiology, clinical as well as preventive cardiology. He has been recipient of many Ovation Awards and Gold Medals, including Rashtriya Ratna and Indian Medical Association's Special Award. He has been principal investigator for global landmark trials and author of many articles and chapters in journals and books in the field of cardiology, having national and international repute. He has also delivered more than 400 guest lectures on prevention of cardiovascular disease at national and international forums, including international conferences held at Sri Lanka, Vietnam, Egypt, Australia, Canada, China, USA, etc. So I would invite Dr. J.T.S. Soni to speak on FH. Over to you, Dr. Soni.
Thank you, Dr. Sachin, for kind introduction and introduction about the topic. And I must thank Glenmark for giving me this opportunity to interact with my colleagues in the country about this important clinical condition of familial hypercholesterolemia, which we used to think it is a rare. I'll discuss today that it's not rare, it's quite common in the society. We are looking for it, we may miss that diagnosis. The second part of the talk will be also briefly discussing about the new European Society of Cardiology guideline on lipid management and how the goals of the LDL cholesterol had changed, what is the rationale behind it. So I'll touch both the things and then we'll go into one. So good morning, dear friends. I am first discussing with about the most common metabolic disorder of genetic origin, that is familial hypercholesterolemia. Before going to the details, I must share with you that there are various risk factors, as you are all aware, which leads to increased cardiovascular diseases. And among them, the most common and the most important risk factor is lipid disorder. And in the lipid disorder, it is the LDL which plays a pivotal role in the genesis of atherosclerosis. And if you look at the source of LDL cholesterol, how it just comes into the blood circulation, dietary contribution is only 15 to 20%. Mainly 80% is through the liver, where there is it is being synthesized. And we have now learned that the liver synthesis of cholesterol is mainly genetic in origin. It may be polygenic in origin, most of the patient, but in such patient, it is also a monogenic in origin. So FH is the example of that, is the most common genetic disorder with autosomal dominant inheritance. And this 50% of the children or siblings will be suffering from this disease. And it's not rare, we just don't look for it. So today I'm going to discuss with you my experience, the only experience at the moment from the country, and how we've picked up that, how we have now tried to save the lives of many people from getting premature cardiovascular disease. Well, pickup of this disease is not only in our country. We are having less than 1% of the population getting diagnosed. It is true even for nations like USA, which we are now seeing in COVID situation also. Many countries, those who are developed countries, there also the diagnosis rate is just less than 1% in the community. Whereas the Scandinavian countries like Norway, Sweden, Norway, Switzerland, UK, Netherlands, these are the countries where they have able to diagnose in the society around 40 to 70% of their population as FH. It's basically because of the good healthcare system and which we have. But we unfortunately are not in that position because we are not looking for it. Now, you know that the familial hypercholesterolemia is of two varieties. One is the heterozygous. As I said, it is a autosomal dominant, and the prevalence is approximately 1 in 250, now people say around 200. And these patients generally on the LDL receptors present on the hepatocytes are much less, and they have 2 to 3 times more LDL cholesterol, leading to increased premature CAD in third and fourth or fifth decade. Normally fourth to fifth decade, between 35 to 50 years is the age group generally commonly we see premature cardiovascular disease coming in this population. Fortunately, the homozygous variety is a rare It is seen in 1 in 1 million, where the receptors are practically very low on the surface of hepatocyte. So the LDL levels are very high. They are generally above 500 milligram. We have just concluded our homozygous data from 30 patients, and we have seen most of these children were more than 500 LDL cholesterol. And unfortunately, they get disease, vascular disease, in first to second decade. Recently, in last 6 months, we had two patients. I remember one 8-year-old boy who had triple vessel disease, had to undergo bypass surgery. Another 11-year-old girl came with acute MI, had triple vessel disease. She is waiting for now bypass surgery at the moment. So these are the group, unfortunately, they die very early. And this disease was diagnosed by Dr. Goldstein and Dr. Brown about the LDL receptor they identified, and they explained why people are getting premature CAD in a young age without too many risk factors like diabetes or smoking or even hypertension. And this led to giving, they received the Nobel Prize in Physiology and Medicine in 1985. This is a grossly underdiagnosed, undertreated clinical entity. But in spite of 35 years ago, they have given us this information, we are still struggling to diagnose these cases in the society. So what you can just listen, look into this. This was the Nobel Prize lecture which both Dr. Brown and Goldstein gave. And they suggested at that time the physiological level of LDL should be around 25 milligram, maybe around 25 to 60 milligram, maybe ideal level for the ideal human being. Not even we have very high level of LDL. Beyond that level will definitely get deposited in the coronaries, can cause premature CID. Now coming to the recent data which was published in 2017 European Heart Journal, looking into the prevalence with 1 in 250 of heterozygous familial hypercholesterolemia, and trying to approximate, giving us an idea about the prevalence of this disease in globally. They suggested that approximately 45 million population is suffering from this disease globally. And when they look into the different parts of the world, countries, and we found that the out of that, the 17 million population was from the place where we are staying, the India, Southeast Asia, China. This was the area where we found 17 million out of 45 million. And when we roughly estimated looking at the genetic testing and LDL, it turns out that probably 5 million population in India, that is 50 lakh population in India, is suffering from FH, which we have not diagnosed. So the question is, why we are not diagnosed? Because we were not learned to that. And now my four and a half years of research on this, along with Professor Dr. I.C. Verma from Genetic Department of Gangaram Hospital, we have a breakthrough into looking into the prevalence and incidence of this disease in our country. And so we have adopted, there are many guidelines which have now come up. There are various methods have come, Simon Bolivar, MedPad, Japanese, but the most common and the best method has been found to be Dutch Lipid Clinical Network Diagnostic Criteria, which is given by European Society of Atherosclerosis and European Society of Cardiology guidelines. So this is based on the scoring system. So we can see if the score is more than 8, that means clinically you have diagnosed them as definite FH. If between 6 and 8, it is probable, and less than 3 to 5 is possible. What we have learned now, that the gold standard of diagnosis of FH is no doubt the genetic testing, which is not easily available. Unfortunately, it's costly also. It's cost around 15,000 rupees now, but prices will come down in future. But the genetic testing, looking at the DNA mutation of LDLR, ApoB and PCSK9, these are the three common genes which we are doing. That is so what we found, if the score is more than 6, we have validated with genetic testing, it correlates very well. So above 6 score, we always say potential FH patient, that which includes definite and probable. So how to score, how to calculate the scoring, that is what I want to discuss with you. The most important thing is to look for young MI patients. In our country, our own data shows around 45 to 50% of the population in our country, they get young heart attack, premature heart attack. That means less than 55 years for male, less than 65 for female. And in European, they have suggested less than 60. So if you get that patient, then you get 2 points. Then go into the detail of the family history of similar type of vascular disease and the form of stroke, peripheral vascular disease or MI in the same age group, you get another 1 point. That history is not that uncommon. We have seen these patients. Then look at the LDL cholesterol. If the LDL cholesterol is more than 150, to 190, then you get 1 point. So this is also not uncommon. You straightway get 4 points. But if the LDL is more than 190, you get 3 points. So that becomes 6. That means you are almost dead. This is definitely clinical FH because points are 6. Then look for clinical examination. Tendon gentoma, which was considered to be the hallmark of the familial cholesterolemia, is rarely seen these days. You can see in this photograph the tendon gentoma. We generally miss it because we don't look for it. But our experience is that for in homozygous, they are present in almost 100% patients. But in heterozygous, very rarely we find. But I will share with you the other clinical feature, which is very important to diagnose, is arcus cornealis in a young man, less than 45 years of age. You can see a small semicircular white line on the cornea at the end of, but it is more commonly seen in the upper part of the cornea. So you can easily miss it if you don't lift the upper eyelid. If you lift the upper eyelid, this semicircular, if it's there, arc-like structure, white color present, this is called arcus cornealis. This is not arcus cinalis, which is about 60 years, which is a common thing. But arcus cornealis, coming at the age of 45, you get 4 points. So in a young MI with family history, high cholesterol, and if you get an arcus cornealis, you must look for that. Then you are clinically sure that this patient is nothing but FH. So what is the importance of that? Now, there is another important problem which do we face in clinical practice. That 20 to 25% of patients, when they come to us with acute coronary syndrome or even CAD, chronic CAD, they are already on statin. Now, this calculation of LDL cholesterol or Dutch lipid clinical criteria is based on non-statin naive LDL cholesterol. Now, how to calculate that? For that, now the guidelines have given us very interesting dose-based and the drug-based adjustment factor. You can see here for Atarva, Rosuvastatin, Zetiapine, the common drugs which we are using for management of dyslipidemia, they are giving us adjustment factor. For example, one of my patients few months ago, he came to me with acute coronary syndrome and he was already on 20 milligram of atorvastatin. We did his non-fasting lipid profile when he was admitted in the hospital and we found it was 110. So the adjustment factor will be for 20 milligram atorvastatin is 1.8. You can see here, so it's 1.8. And that multiply by 110 comes to 198. 198 means you have 3 points. So this is how we can calculate a statin naive status of the LDL cholesterol and use this label for calculating the scores from the Dutch lipid clinical criteria graph. So this is an easy method. It's not that we can have that with us. So this Dutch lipid clinical criteria is a simple method. Just like Chadwell's score for atrial fibrillation, whether to start NOVAX or not to start anticoagulant. Similarly here, this gives us a clear-cut evidence that this patient is suffering from FH. So what the guidelines have concluded now, recently 2019, that every patient of young MI is a duty of the physician to look for FH, particularly if the patient has high cholesterol, more than 190. We have, our experience shows more than 160. That these patients should be started on high doses of statin because their levels are high. 40 milligram of rosuvastatin is very good. If the levels are not reaching the goal of less than 55, according to new guideline, we should add HMI. And if it is not reached, then we can use now PCSK9 inhibitor injections, which are available to us also now. But for a patient without CAD, then the goal is to keep less than 70. So this is good. But the most important message in this slide is a family cascade screening. So treatment of FH is not complete unless and until you have done family cascade screening. So there are two parts of the management of FH. One is the individual index case getting their LDL goal to less than 55 so that they do not get recurrence of future cardiovascular disease, which is very high compared to non-FH patients. Second part of the story is to look for family cascade screening. Now, what is family cascade screening? This is doing a lipid profile, non-fasting lipid profile of the sibling, brother, sister, and the children above the age of 8 years. Of the index case and doing a non-fasting lipid profile and looking at the levels, and that will give you an idea that if the level in a child is more than 135 or more than 160 in any family member, those who are asymptomatic at this stage, they do not have any symptom, and the index case has points more than 6, that means a potential FH patient, then they are carriers. They have to be treated. Although for young children, we always suggest to do a genetic testing because the treatment will be lifelong. Then we suggest that confirm with genetic testing. But if it is not aware, don't worry, we can manage with that. So the new guidelines says, start small dose of statin for children and try to keep the LDL to less than 135. For adult, less than 70 ideally for FH patient. And generally with moderate doses of statins are good enough to manage adult population, and small to moderate doses are good enough to start on the young children. So this is how we should manage, because these are the people where if we act in time, we will prevent the premature CAD in the society. So by diagnosing a case of FH, we do not identify a patient, but a family at risk. So this is the main message I want to convey to my friends, country. Now let me discuss with you some of these studies which we did in our country, and the only one at the moment, which we did in single center study, that is the only limitation. But we have looked into, and this was finally published in Indian Heart Journal recently, and you can go through this paper also. So what we did, we look into the young heart attack patients, around more than 4,000 patients, and we were surprised to find around 45% patients were less than 55 male and less than 65 female, a big number. And then we look into the risk factors in young MI patients of tobacco, diabetes, hypertension, dyslipidemia. And in dyslipidemia, we started looking into the family hypercholesterolemia patient. Earlier, we used to treat them just like that with statin, where we used to make an error of not looking into the family hypercholesterolemia part, which we did by using Dutch lipid clinical criteria in all our patients. So there are around 1,100 patients of young MI. And you can see here, surprising finding was that 17% of the patients were suffering from familial hypercholesterolemia. That means a potential FH patient. You see, probable 13.6, definite 4.2, comes to around 17%. It's a big number. And look into the other risk factors which we saw. We look at the LDL, which is very high in definite group, and the probable group. Now, what we look into the further, another paper which this we presented last year in Maastricht in Netherlands, and this year we were having now in Geneva. And in that, we started looking at the risk factors and come in young heart attack patients, comparing FH versus non-FH in young MI. And what we found, as expected, the side effect, the risk factors of diabetes, hypertension, smoking was less in definite and probable group compared to possible and no FH in young MI patients. Other way around, we found they were having very high level of cholesterol. Average, you can see, indefinite was 238. Probable was 161. So you can see the more cholesterol was high in them, and less number of risk factors were seen in the patient list. So the message is, then if a young MI patient comes to you, and he has less number of associated risk factor, like he's not a smoker, he's not diabetic, he's not hypertensive, then please look for FH. Look for family history, and you will find, if you look at the LDL level, you just lift the upper eyelid, look for arcus corneales, you will clinch the diagnosis. So if you diagnose them clinically, you did not go into genetic testing, you are going to save many more lives in society. So in our own study, we found that these associated risk factors, and in 16-17% patient, we have to use LDL correcting factor because they already were on statin. And then arcus cornealis was seen in definite patient approximately 70%. The arcus cornealis is a very, very important clinical marker of diagnosing FH in clinical situation. When a young MI with high cholesterol, not much of associated risk factor, lift the eyelid, you may find that finding that gives you a clear answer that this is nothing but FH. We started looking into the data from other parts of the world, how they are having this study. So this paper came after our paper in 2019 from the Harvard Medical School and by Dr. Deepak Bhatt group and from the Harvard. And they found in their study, approximately 10% of the patients with young MI had premature CAD. Our paper was discussed in Harvard recently, and they also have the opinion that probably they have underestimated their patient. They have missed some of the clinical finding like arcus in their studies. But what they found, a significant number of patients are not on high doses of statin in spite of being diagnosed as FH. Another paper which was published from Australia, Sydney, here the number of patients were only 175. And in them, they found similar 14.3% incidence of premature CID patient they had FH or potential FH. So it is almost similar. So that shows globally, we are behaving similarly. Maybe we have little more patients compared to the rest of the world. And after our paper publication, other publication, then the media was little activated, and then they requested us to convey this message to community, to society, from their various magazines and newspapers and all that. We've suggested that that community should know, if they are having a heart attack, which is very high, up to 50% of them in the country, if they're having a young heart attack and do not have much of risk factors, please look for familial hypercholesterolemia. We have requested all the community to do the lipid profile of their family members, their children and their brother and sister. And we got a lot of phone calls from people around the country when we published this paper, and then it was given a type of media coverage to general population for prevention of young heart attack in the country. And that has led to probably slightly more knowledge in the society now. The other paper which we published was looking at the cascade screening. But here what we did, since we have a good department of the genetic in Gangaram Hospital, the Dr. Nikita Shetia, along with Renu and Dr. I.C. Verma, Professor Verma, we have done the genetic testing in this patient. So we took 100 patients, approximately 9 to 10 patients were homozygous, we excluded that. The 90 patients, those who are there, we use again Dutch lipid clinical criteria, and we did genetic testing also besides calculating their risk score. So LDL or ApoB and PCSK9 was tested through DNA mutation, and those who came positive, then we did cascade screening of the family member, their brother, sister and their children. We did again lipid profile and genetic testing in the family members, those who are asymptomatic, and look at the finding. Out of the 90, we found 47 were positive on the genetic test, which comes around 80% in definite group, around 45-50% in world literature says 60-70% in probable group. This is the same world literature, our findings were not different. And among the type of mutations, the LDL receptor mutation was the commonest. You can see here, 43 of the 47 in our study were LDL. Only 2 had PCSK9 and 2 had ApoB. And then what we did, those who came LDL positive, 43 cases, we look into the brother, sister and their children about the age of 8 years. And then we did lipid profile and did the genetic testing of them. And we were surprised to find out of 134 family members, 95 were genetically positive. That means they were asymptomatic, they were not aware they are carrying the genes of this. So that gave us a great confidence that this disease is existing in our country. And we are not looking for it. And if we don't act now, we are not going to prevent premature CID in the society. So what we did, out of those 195 positive cases, the 16 were less than 18 years of age. And putting them into statin was a difficult task when we discussed with a family member, which I will discuss with you later. So what this was published finally in the pediatric journal, we published this cascade screening. And then we have went into the literature and started looking into the fact that when to start statin in young children. So what we have found that if you see in this graph, the average age of the heart attack in FH heterozygous was around 35. Young Amma is 55. So if you start the LDL lowering therapy at the age of 20, we will push disease from 35 to 48. But if we start at 10, we will push from 35 to 55. So that shows that there is more than two decades shift of a disease can happen if you act in time. Homozygous, I can see here, on average age was around 12 years when they're getting heart attack, which fortunately is rare. But this is not rare, 17% of young Ammai. And if you act in time, in their family members, adult is fine, they accept it. Children, if their parents sometimes are reluctant because the media hype against statin is there. And we have discussed and explained to them that if you start them, we are definitely going to prevent future premature heart attack in their children also. So that has given us a lot of leverage. Now we started looking into Dr. Gosh, which invited us to participate in the 58th global registry of the women, and 61,000 participants
till few months ago have already accumulated the data of the premature, of the FH patients based on the potential FH, more than 6 scores. So everyone is using that. You can see there are various Dutch lipid clinical criteria. The best salmon group is 1.6% met, but nobody is using now. Genetic was used very rarely because it was not easily available. So we can see here, a significant number of patients are in the world also globally, and we are into this registry looking into the various risk factors and also their outcome, how they are treated, whether adequate statin doses are given to them or not. So all those data are being collected, which will be discussed in some other time. But today, just to give you information that we are part of this global trial going on by Dr. Kaushik Ray. For the management, we have discussed the high dose of statin, 40 mg rosuvastatin, with or without HMI, is a key to treat the patient to less than 55. Our own study is going on at the moment at St. Gangaram Hospital, looking at back 2 to 4 weeks how many people are able to reach less than 55 in acute coronary syndrome with high doses of statin with or without HMI. But there are a group of patients, those who will be needing PCSK9 inhibitor, which we know that this is a new group of drug injectable, which has been cleared by FDA now. Both drugs now, Glucomag and Glucomab, are available. In our country, Glucomag is available. It is now cleared for FH, statin intolerance patient unable to reach a goal in the CAD, and these are the groups that probably will be using this drug very commonly. The drug acts on the receptors because these are the ideal receptor on the surface of the hepatocyte, and the ideal particle gets attached to them, goes into the cell structure or by endocytosis, and the ideal is cleared from the serum or from the blood. So what happens, the PCSK9 is a protein secreted by hepatocyte. Once it gets attached to the LD receptor, it causes degradation of the receptors. So receptors are not available on the surface of hepatocyte to bring the LD cholesterol. And that's why PCSK9 increases the LD cholesterol level. The mechanism of action of PCSK9 injectable drugs is that it gets attached to the PCSK9 and do not allow them to degrade the receptors. So more and more receptors are available on the surface of hepatocytes to bring the LDL down from the serum, and that's a very powerful drug which we have seen. Now this drug has been studied in FH patient and various other patients. In FH patient we have seen that it reduces LDL by 60%, a big number. And not only it reduces LDL, it also improves HDL, but most important thing what we found, that it reduces lipoprotein little A. So far, no drug has shown. Drugs like niacin and other things were tried, but it failed to show any beneficial effect or reduction of cardiovascular events. But PCSK9 inhibitor has shown that in addition to LDL, it also takes care of lipoprotein little A. So, dear friends, before concluding my first part of talk, I want to share that even in the history, it is documented, and you know this is a famous portrait of Mona Lisa. It's not an imaginary portrait, it's a portrait on a subject, Lisa Gherardini. She was the wife of a very famous businessman of Paris. And Leonardo da Vinci was asked to make a portrait of her. And this is in 1500th century, and it's available in the Louvre Museum. Or you can see virtual museums you can see these days. And the da Vinci has, you can see, so beautifully captured the evidence of premature, evidence of FH in Mona Lisa. You can see this. Gentle asthma, he captured. You can Google and you can see that. You can see here, Tenton Genthoma. So beautifully he has captured in the figure. So the history shows she died prematurely. So in conclusion, what I want to discuss with you is that FH is the most common metabolic disorder. Despite a significant health risk, it is inadequately diagnosed and managed globally in our country also. And it's not rare, we are just not looking for it. Our own study, but all the genetic studies are confirming that this is there. My study is ongoing at the moment. Now we have 1200 patients and we are finding more. Maybe it is 18% is coming up with the new data. Dutch lipid clinical criteria is a gold standard. You should not use other criteria to diagnose this. It's a simple method. One should suspect in every premature CAD. With LDL more than 190, definitely, but I will say more than 160 in India. More than 160 LDL with premature CAD, look for that. And cascade screening using only lipid profile, you need not go for genetic testing as we have done in our clinical trial, will able to pick up the carriers in the family members, including the children. And that we know that this disease, if a patient has FH and premature CAD, their progression of disease, the future cardiovascular events are very, very high. and the disease is very aggressive. So we have to be aggressive in managing that. And for that, that is the only way to reduce the recurrence of. So for that, my suggestion is that we start using high doses of statin like Ashtamide, and add Ashtamide 10 milligrams if the goals are not achieved. So combination of the high doses of rosuvastatin or Atorva 80 milligram 40 plus along with Ashtamide probably will be in a position to achieve the goal. But I personally feel that a significant number of patients will not able to achieve if either because of statin intolerance or because of levels are too high, then we see. It's another study, 17% of patients, they had the HSC. So I will stop here the first part and we will go to question and answer after the finishing second. Second part is a brief part, looking at the rationale behind the guidelines. So as you know, Dr. Trent, we have seen this slide many times, that both for secondary prevention, starting from the classical 4S trial, down to prove it trial, and also the improve it trial. And now primary prevention, starting with the Voskhovs and going up to the Jupiter trial, all have clearly shown that if you reduce cholesterol LDL to less than 70 or 60, there will be reduction of cardiovascular events. And this is very well documented in the meta-analysis of the 14 trials and more than 90,000 patients, that 1 millimole of LDL is 39 milligram of LDL cholesterol over a period of 5 years reduction reduces cardiovascular events by 23% and even mortality. So that shows a clear cut. But both for primary prevention and for secondary prevention, you have to use statin to reduce the cardiovascular event and improve the lifespan of human being. So with this data which we have so far, we started with high cholesterol, CARE study, Voskhov studies, then we had HPS studies. When we said average is not good, we have to still reduce it. Diabetic patient, everyone should be on. Then we have TNT study and PROVIT study showing lower is better, go below 70 if you reduce further cardiovascular events. So this was the evidence which came from all the clinical trials. But look at now, the subsequent trials which have been done in the last 5 years. So what we had, CTT meta-analysis, which we have discussed already. The improved trial came subsequently where statin with Ashtamide was compared with statin with placebo, showing further reduction of cardiovascular event. And then PCSK9 trial, basically two important trials of CAD, Fourier trial, and acute coronary syndrome, OTC outcome trial, have shown further reduction of LDL cholesterol, reduces further cardiovascular disease. So this was the improved trial, where the Ashtamide was added to simvastatin 40 or 80 milligram compared to placebo in acute coronary syndrome patient, and showed a significant reduction of LDL to below 55, 53 milligram on average, resulted in reduction of cardiovascular events, and in diabetic subgroup of population, reduction of mortality also. So this was a landmark trial. And then PCSK9, as I told, this is the mechanism of action. And the trial which was done was the Fourier study in more than 27,000 patients of coronary stable angina patients, those who are already on maximum doses of statin with Ashtamide, with or without Ashtamide, when the cholesterol level were more than LDL. They were compared with Ivlucomib 140 milligram twice a month injection versus placebo. And then they look into that data, shows the LDL went down below 30 milligram, and they keep on showing a further reduction of cardiovascular event in this population. So this was, and the ODC outcome trial in acute coronary syndrome also behaved in a similar manner. So the interesting finding was that we were surprised when the level went below the 20 milligram even in this 4 year study. And we were looking into whether it is causing any side effect, whether people are achieving or not. So they look into the different quartiles from 100 milligram LDL to below 20 milligram LDL in 4 year study. And they were surprised to find that the side effect, the safety was superb with this drug, even bringing LDL below 10 to that situation. So all the side effect at all quartile going below 10, 20 milligram was same. You said new onset of diabetes, malignancy, cataract, neurocognitive disorder, increase in transaminitis, CK angina, myalgia,
non-severe hemorrhagic stroke, everything was same. No difference. They were very well tolerated even with the LDL less than 20. So that we remember now what 35 years Dr. Goldstein and Brown said. Keeping around 25 to 30 may be good enough for, or it will be ideal for human being to prevent future cardiovascular disease. So what we found from this study was that the 60% reduction of LDL, no safety issue, drug is very well tolerated, do not cause myalgia, greater benefits, twice a month injection, cost is a major issue which we'll discuss, and maybe 5 to 10% of patients did need it because of the cost constraint. At the moment, we have only 800 to 900 patients in the country, those who are on this drug at the moment. So what we have learned now, that the average lower is better, and improved shows even lower is better. And finally, Odyssey and Fourier say the lowest is best. So that's what the message came, and that's led to the European Society of Cardiology guidelines to reduce the LDL cholesterol to less than 55. So these are the people, those who need to reduce to less than 55 milligram. They are the very high risk population, patients suffering from cardiovascular disease, suffering from coronary artery disease, bypass, stenting, stroke, TIA or peripheral vascular disease, diabetes with target organ damage, more than 3 risk factors, severe CKD patient, FH patient with CAD, which we discussed. But the important finding was that they have added a new group of patients. Those who are suffering from atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease may be asymptomatic, but on imaging, we have a lot of patients now, they are coming to us with CT coronary angiogram, and now they have suggested more than 50% block artery, two arteries or carotid artery showing significant block, keep the LDL less than 55. High risk is one where the LDL is more than 190 without CAD, FH without CAD, diabetic patient with duration more than 10 years without target organ damage, and with other, or with other risk factors. So any diabetic with one risk factor, keep it less than 70. The moderate risk is one, only young diabetic population, less than 5 years, 7 years of the duration of diabetes without any risk factor, which we do not see commonly, where we say you keep it less than 100. So it looks like in most of the diabetic population, we have to keep the LDL to less than 55, 74 with risk factor, and patients, those who are getting recurrent myocardial infarction, whether diabetic or non-diabetic, should reduce the LDL cholesterol to less than 40 milligrams. This is the new number which has come, probably which we have to know. See, if young MI patient getting recurrent MI in spite of LDL less than 70, probably keeping less than 40 or at least 50% reduction from the baseline should be the ideal way of managing patients. Your dear friend, I must conclude here my talk and to say that in the country, and any question there, we will discuss. Thank you very much. Over to Sachin.
Yes, sir. Thanks for that very informative lecture on FH. There are some questions that are coming in. I would ask the questions one by one. Dr. Mohan Bhargava from New Delhi is asking, what are the results of intervention in young in ACS with FH?
The results of the, yes, we have the data from our hospital. That the patients, those who had FH, we have intervened, we did the results are equal to the non-FH patient. Only thing, we are vigilant about this patient because they are the patient, those who have got more aggressive disease, the recurrences are very high. So we are targeting to keep as low as possible, less than 50. Because I personally feel going below 50 may be a good idea in this group of patients. The results are very good in terms of management. Yes, some of them have also a type of multivessel disease, maybe a little more common at that young age compared to the diabetic population.
Okay. So now there is another question from Dr. Bhargava, who is asking, if the patient has FH, no CAD, should he be on primary prevention and do they respond better than those with associated TAD?
Associated?
TAD, coronary artery disease.
Achha, of course, CAD, okay.
Yeah.
Good morning. Okay. So, you see the patient FH, if you diagnose clinically without the CAD, associated CAD, I think in my personal view, we should look aggressively for subclinical atherosclerosis in this patient also. One. Number second, yes, we have to target their LDL goal to less than 70. at least, because this is very important. So we look for any vascular disease in the carotid artery or peripheral vascular or in the coronary by doing CT angio, which I do internally in this patient. And when we look into the family history of this patient, then probably we'll all become more wiser that whether anyone in the family had premature CAD or not. So that convinced them to start the treatment and keep the LDL less than 70 in this patient. And I found the combination of modest doses of statin like acetamide 20 with 10 milligram, rosuvastatin with 10 milligram of acetamide combination gives me a better reduction of LDL to less than 70 compared to only 40 milligram of rosuvastatin.
Dr. Rajan from Maharashtra is asking, he's from Mumbai, he's asking how long to continue statins after achieving normal levels?
In the, every patient, we, after achieving the normal level, we have to continue with the same doses. That patient till we achieve that. Now, there may be a question that some people believe, can we downgrade the doses of the statin or not? I mean, that is a question which is good clinical trial have no answer so far. TNT, prove it out. They continue for years together, the same high doses statin. But yes, some of the patients do not tolerate statin in high doses. In that situation, I have reduced the doses, added acetamide to reach the goal. Because I have seen if you increase from 20 milligram to 40 milligram of acetamide, the reduction may not be that much as 20 milligram and 10 milligram acetamide added to that 20. So that makes a 16% reduction of LDL versus 6% in that situation. So, and that gives you added advantage that the patient tolerates the lower dose of statin better. And acetamide as such is better tolerated by patient. So that drug has to be continued forever.
Okay. So Dr. B.S. Bhatia from Chandigarh is asking, what is the role and status of inclisiran compared to PCSK9 inhibitors, particularly after Orient trials?
Yes, Orient trials have been published now, and the latest one, 11, by Dr. Ivan Kaushik, we discussed with him. These trials have clearly shown that 3 monthly injections, or in some study they've done even 7-6 months, but 3 monthly on average inclisiran, have shown a significant reduction of LDL cholesterol. I would say at comparable to PCSK9 inhibitor, but we are at the moment still in experimental stage. We have not done the trial with endpoint looking into endpoint cardiovascular. But definitely is a very promising drug. If it comes in future, probably it will be a challenge for PCSK9.
Right. Dr. Rahim from Mumbai is asking, what's the probability of xanthomas in FH patient?
Xanthomas, the tendon xanthomas, which is a class matter, which is very common in which we had, I just discussed that 30 of my patients of FH, those were homozygous, all of them had tendon xanthoma, everyone, multiple tendon xanthoma, tuberous sclerosis, everything was seen. But in patient of heterozygous, in our study of that 1100 patient, we only could, we were eagerly looking for FH, for tendon xanthoma for every patient because this was a study going. And in spite of that, we only picked up 2. And then we have to confirm it from our dermatologist colleague also. And then that made me, that is not that. Because possibly explanation is that people are on statin and do not allow them to develop that.
Okay. Dr. Surinder Gupta there from Ludhiana is asking, right, that FH is too common, but what we face in family physicians, most parents never want their children to be tested as they seem apprehensive. Should we convince them with the increased risk of CAD?
Yes, I think this is a very good point. When we were putting our 16, I've got 16 children now on statin. And it was a big question in the mind of family members. One from the media, which was negative for adults, but for children, they say, what will happen? Because some of them have Googled and they found that cholesterol is essential for gonadal hormones, sex hormones, growth hormones, so many areas where cholesterol is required, and brain cells and everything. So they read that and came back to us. So when we started looking at the literature, and the data came from the observational study, and only 6 months back in New England Journal of Medicine, there was a 25 years follow-up of children on statin has come up. And everywhere they have shown the growth of the children was not hampered. The sex development, puberty development, everything remains same between the two group of people. Those who receive statin in children starting at the age of 8 years versus that. So they tolerated it very well. Then we have to explain to them that if you don't do, then like your uncles, your father and other people, they will also get premature CAD. So the only way to is to, so we have to counsel them. The other area, which is a ethical issue or sometimes a social issue which comes, that if suppose we do a genetic testing on their children and it turns out to be positive and we know he's a carrier and we they accept that, okay, we start treatment. Now they are afraid if the family, the other people will know about this genetic disease, what will happen to their status in society in terms of marriage and other things. So those are the issues which are still uncovered. If you ask me, instead of putting
compare mein jeevan nahi chalta, kisi se compare nahi karte.
Without problem.
And Dr. Gupta is also asking, have you seen patients having FH but no family history of heart attacks, or we cannot stroke or PAD?
See, one of the study with my colleague Dr. Aman, he's done from the children, and they found the children were having very high cholesterol. So we did a reverse Tasker screening. And then we found a child with a very high cholesterol. We took the lipid profile of mother and father, and we picked up that they were suffering from FH. And then when we looked into the history, the father was not having CAD, but his brother had CAD. Their uncle suddenly died of sudden cardiac death. So those type of history, or someone had, some people, they forget to ask about stroke. Stroke is a part of the disease. So someone asking that someone has premature stroke at the age of 55 or 60. So those are the history generally we pick up. But I do agree, a rare case may not be, because maybe a mutation at that stage.
Okay. Dr. S.K. Singh from Agra is asking, what's better, Atarva or Rosuvastatin?
I think the says that equivalent doses of 80 milligrams of Atarva and 40 of Rosuvastatin probably are good enough. But many clinical trials have used the 40 milligrams of Rosuvastatin. Probably was little better tolerated in terms of the myalgia because the water soluble compared to Atarvastatin, which has got a metabolism from the liver. By SIP mechanisms. So that's the thing. I think the efficacy should be there because studies have shown 80 milligram Atarva was equally effective.
Dr. Prakash from Gorakhpur is asking, what is the safest statin option in severe LV dysfunction with CAD?
Yes, LV dysfunction with CAD is an indication for statin. Then I think we have seen that modest doses of statin, maybe 10 milligram of Rosuvastatin or 20 milligram Atarva, is a good option to keep the LDL level less than 70 or maybe 55 in such group of population, because if they have multivessel disease, LV dysfunction, they cannot be revascularized. Better to keep it less than 55, otherwise the disease will increase.
Okay.
But for plain heart failure patient without CAD, the guidelines they are changing, because the thing is that the data from the clinical trial have shown that there were not much of benefit in plain patient of heart failure. We need not start if they are non-CAD patient.
Okay. Dr. Parameshwari Subramanian from Ernakulam is asking for... slides. He has given her email ID. I think we can respond to her later on. Is asking for your slides. Dr. Sadhvir Singh from New Delhi is asking. Is there any familial hypertriglyceridemia workup protocol, particularly in North Indian population? Is asking about familial hypertriglyceridemia.
That's right. Sadhvir, is nice question, because this is a clinical entity. Which we have not done any study on this so far. There are two varieties where the triglyceride levels are in thousands, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. We have seen some of the rare patients. They are definitely familial hypertriglyceridemia. Some of the people now found that they are familial hypochylomicronemia. There is a drug which is available now, injectable. I'm forgetting the name. I'm sorry for that. But this is being discussed and been researched. And people found that drug has worked very well. The triglyceride management, we have not discussed because of lack of time, but we are sure now that there is still a lot of myth in society that many physicians, they unnecessarily put patient on fenofibrate along with statin, making no great benefit, at the same time causing more side effect of the statin unnecessarily. And for that reason, the guidelines which have come now are very clear.
If the triglyceride is more than 500, use fenofibrate to bring it less than 500 and then start. In majority of patients, you have to start statin simultaneously with that. Because after for more than 500 milligram, it is a chylomicron induced triglyceride, which are dangerous for pancreatitis, not for CAD. But less than 500 triglyceride, basically the VLDL triglyceride, and they are the one who should be treated with maximum heavy doses of the statin only. And in those cases where in patient with LDL less than 55, triglyceride more than 200, HDL less than 35, probably fenofibrate has some role. And now people say EPA, that the fish oil, 2 gram BD, which has come from the UCI trial, that should be added to the patient.
Okay. And Dr. Gupta is asking if aspirin addition to the statins would have an extra effect.
No, the aspirin has no added advantage, unless it is indicated. Like a CAD patient, yes, we have to use antiplatelet. For primary prevention patients, even including diabetic now, the data from DEFINE and all the studies have shown there is no role of primary prevention aspirin at the moment, because the benefit of reduction of non-fatal MI stroke was 12%, but the bleeding was 29%. So the risk was more than the benefit. That's why it is no more in the guidelines. We should not use unless it is indicated because of muscular disease.
Okay, Dr. Farah English from Munna. Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you see, we have seen now that the patient, those who are on statin, their PCSK level goes up. And that is probably one of the explanation that over a period of time, the efficacy of statin goes down because of PCSK level. This is a normal phenomenon. And this happens, and secondly, the calcification of the coronary artery also comes up because of statin. So don't worry for that.
Okay, Dr. Farah English from Navi Mumbai is asking, how many doses of PCSK9 inhibitors are usually required to bring down LDL cholesterol levels to the desired level?
You see, it is individualized now because of the cost factor in India. Although the recommendation is to use 140 milligram subcutaneous twice a month versus 420 milligram once a month injection, equivalent doses, which cost you around 17,000. Now the prices are coming to around 13,000. And twice, and then we're still coming around 26,000 per month, which is a big amount for a common man in India. So this has shown a significant reduction of LDL. So it all depends upon the individual patient. My common patient, those who are on PCSK9 inhibitor, and our number one patients are those who are having statin intolerance. They're suffering from CAD, unable to reach the goal, they're having statin intolerance. I've added HMI, still not working, then we give PCSK9 inhibitor. Second group of patient is young MI getting recurrent acute MIs, coming up very aggressive disease like an FH patient, and they having the LDL levels still above 70 in spite of maximum tolerated dose of statin with HMI. There I use them as one of the other indication and FH. So this drug is very safe, do not cause any cytomegalia, is not the new onset of diabetes. Only local site injection, sometimes you can see some local site reaction may be seen with this. So the level we have seen in few of my patients, all the recommendation is 2 injections per month. Because of cost reason, I have given 3 injections for 2 months with 20 days duration. I have achieved the LDL less than 50. For him, the cost effectiveness, although it is not the guideline based, it is off label, but it is working. Okay. There are some of my patients are tolerating moderate doses of statin, not high doses. Then we add 1 injection per month. It still works. So it is all, I think, off label, not recommendation, but this is what we have done, keeping in view the cost of the drug.
Okay. Dr. Abhinav Bhagat from Partner is asking, PCI versus CABG for very young FH patients with critical multi-BD.
You see, there is no difference.